Good morning, listeners. A very, very warm welcome to you all, and thank you very much for tuning into our program Out and About with Leah and Tim. This is the hour every Tuesday from 9 a.m. until 10 a.m. during which we draw your attention to not-for-profit community events being held in the next or 2 weeks or so on the Mornington Peninsula or very nearby. Leah Jewell looks after the technical productions of the program. She tries to keep me in order, and she intersperses my chat with pieces of music she's chosen. My name is Tim Acton. I'm a retired airline manager living in Mount Eliza, and I endeavour to pass on the event information in an interesting, helpful, and entertaining way. So please get comfortable, have some refreshments within reach. Oh, and I suggest you arm yourself with a pen and paper to take down event details that might interest you. But before we move on to the events coming up shortly, may Leah and I wish you and your family members and friends who are celebrating birthdays or significant anniversaries today, the 5th of December, a very enjoyable and memorable day. The 5th of December today has been a very significant day in history, involving two very different people who have had huge influences in their respective lives on many of us in the world. First of all, a birth. On the 5th of December, 1901, Walt Disney was born in Illinois, USA. And I doubt whether there are many people in the world who have not in some way been affected by his achievements. He started his career as a cartoonist, and he created Mickey Mouse. And Mickey led on to characters like Minnie Mouse, Donald Duck, Pluto, and so on. He then opened his own film studios in California, and he produced smash hit films like Bambi, Peter Pan, Cinderella, and hundreds more. In fact, he ended up winning 22 Academy Awards. He founded the Disneyland and also Walt Disney World theme parks, first in America, and now I think those Disneylands are in Tokyo, Paris, Hong Kong, and I'm pretty sure one opened in Shanghai. It's estimated that over 650 million people have visited his first ever theme park in Los Angeles in the past 60 years. Now, although Walt Disney died in 1966, his company, which is based in Burbank, California, now employs over 200,000 staff worldwide. And hands up any listeners who have never seen a Disney cartoon, a film, or been to a Disney theme park. I doubt there are many of us. What an amazing man. And secondly, a death on the 5th of December. And that of a much loved and highly admired world figure, Nelson Mandela. Born 1918 and died 5th of December 2013, aged 95, Nelson Mandela, of course, led the anti-apartheid movement successfully in South Africa. He spent 27 years in prisons in that country, from the age of 46 to 73, and much of that time he was in solitary confinement. On the breakdown of apartheid, in 1994, Mandela was elected President of South Africa, the first black chief executive of that country ever. And it was during his presidency he helped change South Africa into a place for people of any colour or creed. On retirement from politics, he championed the causes of combating poverty and AIDS. He was awarded over 250 honours worldwide, including the Nobel Peace Prize, and was held in deep respect in South Africa and globally. He was truly a wonderful man and a great leader, and much missed in the world today. So the 5th of December is a special day for several reasons, and let's all make the very most of it, eh? That's why don't we do that? And by starting by doing that, by passing over to you for some music, please, Leah. Thank you.
Hi, yes. Tim, I have some music today from Steve Tyson. Steve Tyson is from Brisbane. He played in a folk rock band, Rough Red. With his gruff voice and superb guitar work, he plays every note on this album with a beautiful and unusual style. This is his first album, or one of his albums, called Wrong Train, Right Station, and this is Mumbai Morning.
That's Steve Tyson. Wrong train, right station. Hope that hasn't happened to any listeners today on the way to work. Right, on with upcoming events. Attention all walkers, or maybe some runners too. In fact, all those who want to maintain their levels of fitness whilst enjoying the beautiful scenery of the peninsula. And, even better, helping to raise funds for two very worthwhile causes. Mount Martha-based organisation Results Fitness Evolution, that's RTE, they call themselves for short, is conducting 2 days of runs and walks on the peninsula during this weekend, the 9th and 10th of December. Now, let me give you an outline of each route first, so you can decide if any of them suit you. First of all, the longest one, the coastal walk from Cape Shank to Portsea Hotel. That's 30 kilometres, and it's all day on Saturday the 9th, and starting off at 8 in the morning. The second walk is marginally shorter. It's from Mornington Peninsula, it's called the Mornington Peninsula Bay Trail. It's from Portsea Hotel, so starting off at the Portsea Hotel and ending up at Dromana, 28 kilometres. That one is taking place on Sunday the 10th, this coming Sunday, starting at 10 in the morning. And then thirdly, and this was more up my street, I think, for families. This is called the Point Nepean National Park Trails Walk. It starts from Point Nepean Car Park, and it follows, it takes your choice of routes, because there are many ways of branching out from the car park, for approximately 5 kilometres to the southern tip of the Mornington Peninsula. Now, in each case of those three, transport's then arranged to bring you back to the starting point, so you haven't got to walk or run all the way back again. The cost of taking part in any of these walks or runs, whichever way you want to do them, is $10 per adult or $5 per child. But please note, these are not races. These are more like health walks, and you can make them as challenging or as easy as you like. And it's suggested you get sponsors to donate for every kilometre you cover. So you challenge your friends to pay, say, a dollar for every kilometre you travel, and then you go as far as you can. Because most importantly, the funds raised from the walks and the runs go to, first of all, to a local family and community who are grieving for a loved one, a specific family that people know very well on the peninsula, and also to Beyond Blue. So two good causes, and if you want any more details, because I've only given you really an outline of the actual walks themselves, why not ring Kim, that's Kim, 0438 333 292. That's Kim at 0438 333 292, and I do it fairly soon, so you're registered to go on one of the bits of exercise. Secondly, early notice of a concert being held at Ballura House, which is in Tallis Drive, Mornington, on the afternoon of Friday the 15th of December. This beautiful Italian Regency house was built in 1863, and its final private owner was the composer John Tallis. And John Tallis, before he passed away, bequeathed Ballura and the beautiful gardens to the people of Victoria. That's us. Now, John Tallis was born on the 15th of December, 1911. So to mark his birthday, a special concert is being held. Two excellent pianists, there's Tim Young, who's head of piano and chamber music at the Australian National Academy of Music, and also one of his star pupils, Lawrence Matheson, will be playing. I've heard Lawrence and he's quite brilliant. The programme includes pieces by Holst, Stravinsky, and by Ravel. There'll be a champagne toast to John Tallis to celebrate his birthday and a delicious afternoon tea. All of that's at Ballura House, Friday the 15th of December, so Friday week, at 1:30 in the afternoon. tickets, $40 per head. Don't forget it includes the beautiful afternoon tea and $35 concession. Bookings are essential. The place only takes about 100 people comfortably, and bookings are filling fast. So ring 5975-2027. That's 5975-2027. And thirdly, and this is where I make a complete fool of myself, parlez-vous français un petit peu? Alors, j'ai quelque chose pour vous aujourd'hui. Please excuse my very poor schoolboy attempt to say in French what I hope means, do you speak French a little? If so, I have something for you today. This afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock at Mornington Library, which is in Vancouver Street, Mornington, you could join a group of people to practice and improve your French language skills. Even from nearly scratch up to quite good, it'll be okay to go along for that. It's an hour of casual French conversation in a relaxed, non-embarrassing and non-critical or judgmental environment. It's led by a charming lady called Céline, which I'm fairly sure is very French. Lovely word, Céline. No cost is involved. It's completely free to go this afternoon. So you've got to get onto your skates after lunch. 4 o'clock this afternoon at the Mornington Library to practice your French and vive la France, as they say. And with all of that, I should get some French music later, but probably not. So back to you, my dear.
I haven't got some French music today. Dear me, bonjour, everybody. We're going to play a track from Steve Tyson's Right Wrong Right Station, something like that, was it? And it is called Hibiscus. And in this, you'll hear his superb guitar playing as well as his voice. This is Hibiscus.
There we go. That was Steve Tyson again, this time singing a song called Abacus. That's that thing that Asian people use to count with, isn't it? Abacuses. There you go. Now, the 25th of December is getting ever closer. And I want to draw your attention to a lovely way to listen to Christmas music in a great setting and played by fine musicians. And furthermore, it's free. On Wednesday, the 13th of December, starting at 5 in the afternoon, HMAS Cerberus Carols. This is a great program for all ages. From 5 to 5.45, it's special kids' entertainment. Music, face painting, there's a petting zoo and jumping castles. And then at 6 o'clock in the evening, for 3/4 of an hour, there's going to be music by the Royal Australian Navy Rock Band and also their Big Band. So two of the bands of the Royal Australian Navy are going to be playing for 3/4 of an hour. And from 7 onwards, Christmas carols played by the Royal Australian Navy Concert Band. And that'll last a couple of hours. Now, there are 33 full-time Royal Australian Navy bands members. They're extremely talented and very versatile in the music they play in a variety of ensembles. And on this concert, there'll be three of them, the rock band, the big band, and the concert band. This annual HMAS Cerberus Carols event, which is on Wednesday the 13th of November, takes place at the Cerberus Married Quarters on an area called The Patch. It's on the corner of Cook and Showers Roads, and entry is via Stony Point Road. There are some food facilities that will be available, but how about bringing a picnic along, stretching out on some nice comfortable furniture or a blanket or something, and enjoying that beautiful music? Should be a really lovely evening, and again, I stress it's free. Good on you, HMAS Cerberus. You provide terrific entertainment throughout the year through the music that you provide to all sorts of charities and community events. But now for a complete change of type of event, of theme, and in no way connected with the festive season, but highly significant. The 2017 Mornington Peninsula Human Rights Oration is being given by Peter Oldenhoven on the 14th of December. Now, Mr. Aldenhoven is a very passionate and active Indigenous rights advocate who is president of the Wollum Warrain Aboriginal Association and also director of Indigenous education at Woodley School in Langwarrin. The oration will address contemporary connections to the history of the Boonwurrung Boonwurrung people of the on the peninsula, the politics and identity, and of recognising Australia's first people through a treaty. So a very, very important subject. When does the oration take place? Thursday, the 14th of December, and the programme takes from 6 in the evening until 9. Where? At the Peninsula Community Theatre on the corner of Nepean Highway and Wilson's Road, Mornington. Attendance is free. The parking is extremely easy. In fact, it's right next to the radio station from where we're broadcasting right now. And the programme, just to give you an idea what's going to happen, from 6 till 7, finger food is going to be served in the foyer, and that's free. And that's when various human rights organisations, for example, Amnesty International will be there. They'll have tables in the foyer and you can go and discuss or have their literature and talk to the people behind the tables about their particular human rights, what their activities are. Then from 7 o'clock in the evening to 8:30, we have the introduction to the talk, the oration by Mr. Aldenham. Then the question time. There'll be plenty of time for questions. So the whole evening is very, very well organised. It's an annual event, and always if I can every year, and I'm going to get to this one because I think it's a most important subject, the Treaty for the Aborigines. So there you go. If you want to make a booking, although the hall does take a lot of people, or have any inquiries, would you please call David Price? Now, David Price, his phone number is 0418 752 093. David Price, 0418 752 093. David's a member of the Rotary Club of Mount Martha. Very good man, I know him well. And so ring up David and he'll give you all the information about the oration, which should be terrific. And the next event in this little group of events should be of interest to tennis players. Are there youngsters who want to learn to play or are already starting to learn? Budding superstars, we might have some in our area. Determined mums and dads who want to improve their game. Or seniors like me who are having to resort to crafty play with spinning shots rather than using power. In fact, anyone who enjoys playing tennis. Next Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 10th of December, Mornington Tennis Club, which was established in 1900, so it's over 100 years old, and now has 12 courts and a very large modern clubhouse. That's based in the Civic Reserve. Now, the Civic Reserve is that very large area of the Rose Gardens. There's a Petanque Club, isn't there? There's also the beautiful the Art Gallery. There's the Duck Pond, one of my favourite places, off Duns Road, Mornington. And that's where you'll find the Mornington Tennis Club. And it's holding what they're calling a Family Fun Tennis Day. So it's next Sunday from 10 in the morning for an hour, during which there'll be a coaching clinic for kids of any age and any tennis standard, even total beginners. So they're going to have experienced coaches there who are used to teaching children. So that's the first hour from 10 until 11. Then at 11 o'clock and onwards, the tennis courts will be available for social tennis. Families or friends, or you can make up with your own fours, or you can meet other people there to join in a game of tennis. Not too serious, not highly competitive. Free court hire. There are some fun prizes. I'm told Santa may well join in one of the games of tennis. And when you're not playing, you can enjoy the sausage sizzle and be most welcome in the clubhouse too. Oh yes, also when you're not playing, on parallel courts to where you are, from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon, the finals of the Mornington Tennis Club 2017 championships are being played, so you can watch how the experts do it. That sounds like a really enjoyable day for tennis players like me, or try hard. If you want to make bookings, and it might be a good idea, I suggest you ring Katie. Lovely Katie, 5975-6124. That's Katie at 5975-6124 to learn all about the Mornington Tennis Club day this coming Sunday. That's enough from me, and over once more to Leah for some music. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you, Tim. Our next track, track 3, is from our most talented Missy Higgins. And this is from her Oz album. And as Tim was talking about honouring our Aboriginal heritage and our lineage here, this is called Black Fella, White Fella. This is Missy Higgins.
Missy Higgins with her song Black Fella, White Fella. And I hope you listen closely to the words, which are really rather beautiful and most appropriate to the event I was talking about just before that, the oration here. The time is 9:37 and you're listening to Out and About with Leah and Tim. This is the program in which we draw your attention to community events on the Mornington Peninsula in the next couple of weeks or so that might be of interest to you. However, out and about can also mean trips away from home. So at about this time each week, I give a short 6 to 7 minute talk about somewhere either overseas or throughout Australia or even just in Victoria that you might enjoy visiting on holiday. Now, at the start of a summer of very mixed weather, we've had very hot, then we had very, very wet. I got soaked a couple of times last weekend, and now it's almost cold again. I'm going to talk today, with my rather macabre sense of humour, about a country and city of complete contrast to us. I'm going to talk about a place I went to about 6 years ago for about a week, Iceland, and its capital, Reykjavik. Iceland is in the North Atlantic Ocean, just south of the Arctic Circle. It's about 500 miles from Scotland, which is where I flew from, 600 miles from Norway, and is physically, and from the point of view of politics and everything else, part of Europe. Iceland has many active volcanoes, and so the land comprised mainly of cooled lava, sort of dark, dry land, although 10% of it is glaciated, and there are many fjords there. Iceland was first settled in the 8th century by migrants from Scotland, Ireland, and Scandinavia. Then in 1262, Norway and Denmark took over the administration of the country until it gained independence for the first time in 1918. The population of Iceland is only about 350,000, so not at all large. And the national language, Icelandic, is very similar to the Viking lingo 800 years ago. Although they do speak a lot of English there, and language was not a problem when I was visiting. And they live in a country where there is only about 4 hours of daylight in winter, whilst in summer there's virtually no darkness at all. Can you imagine that? 4 hours only of daylight, and then at other times of the year, absolutely no darkness. You could play tennis or golf in the middle of the night. Work-wise, the major source of income is from the fishing industry. Actually also, at the moment, includes whaling. They sell a lot of whale meat to Japan. And their second biggest industry is tourism. So it's appropriate we're talking about visiting Iceland as a tourist today. Now, talking of tourism, if you do go to Iceland, when do you go? Well, surprisingly, although it's extremely close to the Arctic area, spring and autumn are quite mild. So if spring and autumn, of course, is the reverse of ours. So any time to visit Iceland between May and September would be best. You don't need a visa if you've got an Australian passport. Several airlines operate flights from London or Manchester, Glasgow or Edinburgh daily. Not terribly expensive. And there's a very large ferry service between Denmark and Iceland. So if you're in Scandinavia, you could hop across to Iceland for a few days. In Reykjavik, which is by far the biggest town, in fact, almost the only town, there's a range of accommodation readily available at all sorts and at all prices to suit. Now, visitors to Iceland do tend to base themselves in the city of Reykjavik, which is in the southwest part of the island, and then to travel around the island from there. So let's concentrate on Reykjavik. The name was given, and it's R-E-E-K-A-V-I-C, it looks like Reykjavik, it's pronounced Reykjavik, Reykjavik, was given to the city by Nordic settlers around AD 870, and translated it means Bay of Smokes. Now the smoke relates to the number of hot springs in the area with steam coming off them. It's built on a peninsula with the mouth of the river Eljor running through it. Its water is so clean that it provides some of the best salmon fishing in the country right in the middle of the city. So it's a bit unlike our Yarra River, much as I love our Yarra. With a current population of only about 115,000, Reykjavik is not only the capital of Iceland, but it is its largest city, as I've said. So what are the top attractions if you visit Reykjavik? When I first looked up I was first going there, I remember looking up the guidebook for Iceland, and they told me the second most attractive attraction in Reykjavik was a hot dog stand that most people go to, which I couldn't believe. But there are some great things to see. First of all, the 19th century Parliament House in the city centre. Look, this is made of stone, and it also contains the library and the Icelandic National Gallery, which I found extremely interesting. Then there's the Hallgrímskirkja. The Hallgrímskirkja, excuse my Icelandic pronunciation. It's a beautiful Lutheran church standing 245 feet high and shaped like a rocket. And there's a lift that takes you to the top, and there are great views of the whole of the city laid out before you if you go to the top of that beautiful church, whose pronunciation I'm having trouble with. Thirdly, and this is easier, there's a place called the Pearlan, which is Icelandic for pearl. It's a complex of buildings overlooking the city, built in 1991 as a monument to Iceland's ever-flowing geothermal springs. It has several fountains spurting huge water high into the sky, and it's used for art exhibitions, concerts, and film shows. There was a very good art exhibition while I was there. It's also home to the Iceland Opera Company and the Symphony Orchestra. So it's their sort of cultural centre of Iceland. Look, in summer months, if you want to go away from Reykjavik to see a bit more of the country, you could take a boat cruise and it could take you to go whale watching, and you're guaranteed to find a fair number of whales where you're taken to. Or you could walk. There's some beautiful treks in the Mount Estia area, E-S-Y-A, Estia area. Or swim in a warm thermal pool. So there's a variety of activities outside the city that you could do. I have a limited time on this travel talk, so for fun, I'm going to end by telling you about the eating habits of Icelanders. But I want to warn you, don't listen to the next minute or so if you're feeling a little squeamish this morning. The national dish of Iceland is called porrimatur, and it's traditionally served as a buffet of country food on big earthenware pots and in heaps of food. There's no shortage of food, but it comprises of things like pickled ram's testicles, fermented shark, scorched sheep's heads, and on rare occasions, seal's flippers. So I hope I haven't put you clean off porrimatur, but I've got to tell you, it's not compulsory to eat it and should not influence your decision to visit Iceland. Oh, and to finish on a more cheerful touch today, if you have on your trip to Iceland, but on the way home, if you're leaving on an afternoon or evening flight from Reykjavik, the airport bus, your standard airport bus, will drop you off at a place called the Blue Lagoon Thermal Pool, lovely warm heated pool, for a relaxing swim, and then pick you up again to take you on to the airport. How's like just Sky's a good idea for Skybus going out to Tullamarine. We must plant that idea. Look, and the other thing about, of course, going to Iceland is once you've done it, imagine how much one-up you can do with the next-door neighbours when you say, well, of course, I've been to Iceland, and they all go quite peculiar. So there you are, my travel talk today, Iceland. And on to our third bracket of events on the peninsula coming up very shortly. And I've got to tell you about two Christmas markets which are happening on the same day, this Saturday, the 9th of December. Redhill and District Auxiliary is conducting a Christmas street stall. It's going to be in the Balnearing Village Shopping Centre starting at 9 in the morning. This annual event is known for the amount and variety of really yummy and diet-destroying goodies on the sale. All handmade with much love. Cakes and scones and all sorts of things that I rather delight in. Now, this street stall market starts in Balnearing on Saturday at 9 in the morning, as I've said, and all proceeds go to Peninsula Home Hospice. So money will end up buying provisions for people who will be not so well but still living at home. So it's a very good cause. And again on this Saturday, but this time in Mornington, a special Christmas market in St. Mark's Uniting Church, 50 Barclay Street, Mornington. That's quite near the roundabout, near the car park for Safeways, and also the very big long car park that runs behind Mornington Main Street. It's from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. It'll not only have items for sale, but there'll be a barbecue, Devonshire tea, an art show, and carol singing. That's all inside. Well, I gather it is. Maybe it's not. Yeah, I think it's inside the church, the St. Mark's Uniting Church. So a whole variety of activities. But it does sound a great way of getting the festive season celebrations off to a flying start. That's this Sunday in St. Mark's, Mornington. And finally today, as far as events go, I can't resist saying a few words about the Sport of Kings. Yes, a horse racing event on the peninsula. Not just any horse racing event, a very important one, a very good fun one. I'm talking about the Balnearing Picnic Races at Balnearing Racing Club in Coolart Road. And it's on this Saturday, the 9th of December. The course on the Emu Plains Reserve and the surrounding countryside are most scenic and attractive. Very wooded. I've been there several times, well, more, I shouldn't say several, I sound like a fanatic race goer. I've been there twice, and it is just absolutely beautiful. Very Aussie looking, if you know what I mean, but beautiful. The track itself is in fine condition. It's about 2,000 metres in circumference, and you can see the horses throughout each race. And I've got to say, the facilities and activities for visitors to the races there are outstanding. Now, although I'm not a racing fanatic or gambler, I really enjoy going there a lot. It's a heap of fun. Access to the course by car is very, very easy along Coolart Road. It's $10 per adult entry fee, and the money goes to, when I went last month, or was it October, the money entry fee went towards the local CFA Fire Brigade, collecting for them, which was a very good cause. You park under the trees right beside the course, unpack the picnic table and chairs and the refreshments, sit back, relax, and have a thoroughly enjoyable day. Now, for those wishing to bet, there's a full TAB service. And there are bookmakers operating who not only take books bets on the local races, but also on interstate races, the one in Melbourne and interstate ones as well. There are raffles and sweepstakes involving the races. For non-bettors, very wise people, there's heaps to do. There's a variety of food outlets. Some, I think I saw a Mexican food outlet last one there, and I think I might be wrong, a Tahitian one. There's a well-stocked bar for those not designated drivers. So if you're not driving home, you could have a drink at the well-stocked bar. There's kids' amusements like a playground, pony rides, and face painting. You know, face painting is really popular. Every time I announce an event for children, there's face painting. Very popular. There's very good seating areas. You get right up to the track and no crowds at all. Not crowded, not pushed together. And plenty of entertainment and singing and so on and music. The whole event is designed to be family-oriented, and it's very country, if you know what I mean. Very laid-back, very, very Aussie. Now, this year's Christmas picnic race meeting is this coming Saturday, the 9th, at Balnearing Racecourse. The gates open at 10. Usually, I tried looking up the program. I couldn't get it on Google yesterday. Usually, there's 6 or 7 races. Often the first race starts at about 1, so there's plenty of time for your picnic lunch, and then you can watch the horses go around and enjoy the afternoon. So there you are, that's the thought, Balnearing races this coming Saturday. Well, there you are, I think I've talked enough. In fact, my voice is getting quite croaky, so I'm hoping there's quite a long piece of music coming up later to give me a break, because we've got a little bit of time up our sleeve before we come to the end of this program today. Over to you, Leah.
Okay then, Tim. Our last piece of music is from Fammy Lumsden. We played a track from Fammy Lumsden's album. This is her solo album, Real Class Act. And she's been travelling through the country halls throughout Australia for all this year and done a wonderful job. Fanny is undoubtedly uniquely Australian. And it's impossible to musically pigeonhole, because she's not quite alt country, not quite indie folk, but filled with the warmth and humanity of both genres, with a welcome touch of pop, as we said. So this is her, from her album, as I said, Real Class Act, and this is Elastic Waistband.
There you go. That was Fanny Lumsden, who's a young lass from Sydney, and that was from her album Real Class Act. And I think it's well named, because I think she's got a great future ahead. I really like her voice and her rhythm. Right, well, we've come to the end of our program of events. We've got about 2 minutes up our sleeve. I just thought of something yesterday. Well, I should explain. I go to a family every Christmas where there's about 18 children and about 10 adults. And what we do, and like many of you may do, is have a Kris Kringle when it comes to presents. The children all get individual presents from all of us, so they're thoroughly spoiled and have a great time. But when it comes to giving presents to adults, we've settled for the Kris Kringle system. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's where you draw the name of someone before Christmas. You find out who you're going to give your present to. There's a set amount, usually, in our case, $50 per Kris Kringle, and you buy for one person and you receive back from a person too. So one present is all you pay. And I looked up Kris Kringle, K-R-I-S and then K-R-I-N-G-L-E, to find out where it originated. And I was interested to find that Kris Kringle, the wording, is originally an Austrian German word from Christ Kindle, Christ, spelt like Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, but pronounced Christ, and K-I-N-D-L, Kris Kringle, which in Austrian German language means gift-bringing, and also refers to the Christ child. So that's where that originated, and I think it's a pretty good way, because as a long-time bachelor, having to wrap hundreds of presents in past Christmases was agony. And just in case you're wondering what I bought, I have to spend $50, and I bought I've got a voucher at an excellent restaurant. Well, I'll give them a plug. Naked for Satan in Fitzroy. Great fun for tapas. Good place. So there you are. We're almost out of time. I want to finish by seeking your assistance, please, listeners. Look, the success and usefulness of this program relies on us, that's Leah and I, obtaining information about upcoming events on the peninsula. otherwise we can't tell you about them. So if you belong to a community group, or your family or have friends who are in a community group, could you please let the person in charge of publicity know about Out and About with Leah and Tim, so that we can receive and pass on details of individual events? And secondly, if you enjoyed this morning's program, please tune in again at the same time in coming weeks on a Tuesday morning between 9 and 10. And please tell your friends about it too, because it's nice to feel you've got listeners when you're spouting forth from the studio here. If, however, you didn't like the program, it's something about its format or the content or even the way we perform, or have ideas how we could improve the program, please let us know. It would be most helpful. Contact with us can be made by email to the station admin at 3rpp.com.au or by phoning 5975 2650. And one last point, by way of disclaimer, and so you don't get furious with us, the information on today's program was sourced very recently by us, but some details may have been changed by event organisers at short notice, so please contact them by phone or email to double check. There we go, folks. We've almost used up a whole hour. Hope you have the rest of your week is most enjoyable, rewarding, and that you keep fit and well. And it's bye-bye for this program today from Leah.
And from Tim.
And from me. Cheers. Bye-bye.